Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
With Christmas celebrations now past, we turn our hearts and our perspective to a new year, 2011. Today we're going to discover how to finish strong, how to begin the new year strong as well. That's next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chapman. The Bible is filled with great examples of fantastic finishers, men who trusted God throughout the course of their life. It's important at a time such as this, the beginning of a new year, the end of this past year, that we set our hearts and sights upon the new year and that we renew our passion to be finishers, to grow in our faith, and to continue running the race with patience. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And we're going to finish out the year of 2010 with this series, Faith to Finish. We're going to study some of the Bible's greatest finishers with Dr. Chapel. Before we join the message, I want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Find out more about our ministry. You'll find a lot of resources to help you in your walk with the Lord in the new year. It's all to be found at dailyintheword.org. But now let's turn our hearts to the Word of God. Here's Pastor Chapleton introduced today's message.
The Apostle Paul was a man who finished his race for the glory of Jesus Christ. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he encouraged Timothy to run his race and finish his race in a way that would also glorify Christ. I trust today that your heart for this time of year is to finish well. Stay faithful to your Lord and honor Him in all that you do. 2 Timothy chapter 4 is our text. Let's learn how to be good finishers today.
He says, first of all, I am resolved to fight. I have fought a good fight. The word fight means to contend with the adversaries. Paul said in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. It is a fight. 1 Corinthians 9:26, I therefore so run, not uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. Mom and dad, the devil wants to take you down. Sunday school teacher, the devil wants to take you down. He wants to take preachers down. And so Paul said, I had to fight the whole time so that lest I had preached to others, I myself would have become a castaway. Listen, friend, today there must be a resolve to fight. I want to give you four things that every Christian must be fighting. Before I do, I want you to turn in your Bible to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. And if you've ever paid attention to a few verses, I want you to pay attention to these, 1 John 2:15. And I want you to see what the Christians to fight. You know, sometimes we get confused, like, what do we fight next, you know? I know of some good men who spent years fighting abortion. And I'm against the abortion industry. But those same men are not reading their Bible. They're not in church now. I know of some others who spent all kinds of time fighting other wicked things, you know, and sinful issues in society and just all their lives. But those men are not faithful to God now. My friend, we need to recognize that God has defined the enemy. God has shown us who we need to fight. And I want you to see it, 1 John 2:15. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The first thing that a Christian must fight is the world's philosophy. The world, the word world there in verse 16 is the word cosmos in the Greek language, which means the world's system. It is Satan's system. It is a society opposed to God and taking the place of God. It is anything that dulls our love for spiritual things and makes it easy to sin. That's why we have Christian education and secular education. The goal of Christian education is to develop the mind of Jesus Christ. And Jonathan Witherspoon, the first president of Princeton University, said, "Cursed be all learning that is not subservient to the cross of Jesus Christ." Our early institutions in America and our Bible-believing Christian institutions of this day would tell you that there is a Christian philosophy of education and that there is a worldly, humanistic philosophy of education, and it is the battle of the Christian to fight the world's philosophy at every turn. Now, many of you are being affected by it more than you yourselves comprehend. For example, in the church house, we may hear a message that it is an abomination for a man to lie with a man. But when you go to work, you're going to be taught cultural sensitivity training. You're going to be taught that we've got to just kind of lay down our convictions as Christians. We just got to get along. And certainly I'm not advocating being rude to people. I'm just simply saying, you've got to, in your heart and mind, you've got to guard yourself so that you don't adopt this world's philosophies, but that you as a child of God are fighting the cosmos or the world's trends and philosophies. And I'm telling you, if you're going to finish this course, it's a battle that you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to go into that secular classroom with your mind guarded. Or by the time you graduate, you'll be an educated infidel who has denied the faith of Jesus Christ. We must fight the world system. We must fight, secondly, the lust of the flesh. There in verse 16, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh," may I define this for you? It is defined as sensual and impure desires which seek their gratification in women, strong drink, and excessive food. But the fact of the matter is that there is a fight against God's people. By the way, God's given you a way for victory in that battle. Turn, if you would, very quickly. Hold your place there in 1 John, but turn to 1 Corinthians 10:13. Very quickly, 1 Corinthians 10:13. This is a powerful verse, and we need to understand it and practice it. 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says this, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." In other words, the devil, he doesn't have a whole bunch of new tricks, friend. He's just repackaging the same old tricks. Common to man. "But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape." Notice that. He will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. One of my best loved stories of recent military history was back in the late 90s when we were fighting over in Bosnia. And some of you recall how that Captain Scott O'Grady was forced to parachute and he had to land down in the countryside. And there he kind of hunkered down under the shrubs and the dirt. And if I recall the story correctly, he ate ants and drank rainwater and just tried to stay alive and had some form of a technological device, a global positioning system. And he would send periodic beacons up to our intelligence folks so that they could know where he was. And the story is told that finally the day came when this helicopter of Special Forces team landed there in Bosnia and just about 50 or 100 yards away from O'Grady. And Scott O'Grady was there laying under the cover. In fact, some reports say that soldiers had come just a few feet from him while he laid there. Now, what did O'Grady do when the chopper laid down and was not far from him, 50 or 100 yards? I'll tell you this much. He did not lay in that brush relaxing until the pilot got out of the helicopter to come and get him. No. When he knew his rescue had come, He jumped up out of that shrubbery with his sidearm loaded, and he looked both ways, and he ran as quickly as he could and got into that chopper and made his way of escape. And I'm going to tell you something. Every time the devil comes with the lust of the flesh, God is going to land a helicopter at your side, but he's not going to drag your carcass out of the shrubs. You've got to run to God and seek him for your escape. But he will always, every time, be there. He'll make a way of escape. We must fight the lust of the flesh. We must fight the lust of the eyes. Notice it says there, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. This can be defined as inordinate affection of every kind, inordinate desires after finery of every kind. Boy, how many of you would say that during the Christmas season, the lust of the eyes is a biggie? Our children, everything they see, I want that. I need that. I need this gadget. I need that gadget. I need this technology. Whoa. And sometimes we as moms and dads, oh yeah, I think I could use that. But you know what? We have to guard against the lust of the eyes. Just guard yourself from that materialistic lust of the eyes thing. Paul said, I've had to fight a fight. And the Bible says we're to fight the world's philosophy, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. And a lot of times, folks, for this part of the message, we're like, oh good, I'm doing all right in those areas. Well, there's one more. The pride of life. The pride of life. The pride of life. Hunting after honors. That's what it means. Hunting after honors. The pride of life is where we've been, who we know, who wanted to hire us, the promotion we could have had. You know, sometimes I hear people say this. They say, well, I could have been a multimillionaire, but I went to the ministry instead. Well, I could have been a professional baseball player, but I went to the ministry instead. Well, aren't we lucky to have you? I get sick and tired of that. My friend, there is no greater privilege for me than preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ at Lancaster Baptist Church. If God calls someone to the ministry, it'd be a step down to become the president of the United States of America. The fact of the matter is we need to fight the pride of life, of where we could go and what we could do, and sometimes without even recognizing it, we're kind of enamored with what's happening in our lives, and we forget that it's by the grace of God that these things are happening. Heard of a little girl recently for her birthday. Her name was Melissa. She got some perfume, and she got a watch. And so she kept going around all day long. She'd say to people, smell my perfume, and hear my watch. Hear it tick, hear it tick. And after a while, you know, it was fine for a while, but after a while, her mother kind of pulled her aside and said, now look, Melissa, we know you're proud of your gifts, but it's about time for lunch, and I don't want to hear one thing about these gifts while we eat. So Melissa sat down at the table, and she was snibbling just a little bit, and her feelings were just a little hurt by what her mom had said. But she sat there quietly all during lunchtime, and towards the end of lunch, she said, I know I'm not supposed to mention it, but if anybody hears anything or smells anything, it's me. You know, what is it about us from a little age, we just want to become something? You know, is there that driven desire to prove something to a mom or a dad? Or our peers? What is it? I don't know what drives it, but I know what God calls it. He calls it the pride of life. You know, years ago, they had these self-help books and positive thinking books, and they were just proliferated on the market shelves, and I admit I read one or two of them, you know, and the books kind of went something like this. They said, what you're supposed to do is get up in the morning, you're supposed to look at a mirror, and you're supposed to say, hey there, big fella. The world is yet to know a man like you. Why, if you go out today, you can conquer the world, get this tiger by the tail, and get a promotion, and make a dollar, and do this, and do that, and you're just supposed to think positive, you know? The pride of life. You know what the Bible says we're supposed to do? First, we're supposed to pray. Lord, without you today, I'm going to fall flat on my face. Paul said, he died daily. He said, Lord, just as you were crucified on the cross, I want to be crucified to myself right now today. Because, Lord, I'm just a miserable worm without you. I'm on my way to hell without you. Listen, folks, never forget where you came from, and where you came from was utter hopelessness without God. Without God. And the pride of life can come in there, and we can begin to think more highly. The Bible says in James 4:16, but now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. He fought the world. He fought the flesh. He fought the lust of the eyes. He fought the pride of life. Notice what he says, secondly, in verse 7. He says, I have finished my course. He was resolved to finish. He says, I've finished the race. And the word course here means to bring to an end or to accomplish, this word finishing the course. His course had been personally given to him by God. And it's interesting, the word finish here is the same word that we find in John 19:30 when Jesus said, it is finished. By the way, how many of you are glad that Jesus finished his course? Paul said, I finished my course. Then notice he says, thirdly, I have kept the faith. Paul had kept the faith. I wish I had time to develop this, but Paul felt like his greatest possession was his faith. His prized possession, Jude in verse 3, contend for the faith. When he says, I've kept the faith, he's talking about the faith delivered to the saints. He's talking about the teachings of the Word of God. My friend, there ought to be some men and women in this room who say, what I believe from this book is dear to me. I'll stand true to it. My faith is not for sale. And in this day when people are saying, well, now listen, we're all the children of Abraham, and you know, whatever faith you have, as long as it's good for you, all roads lead to the same place. Paul said no. Paul said, I have been willing to live. I have been willing to die for the fact that Jesus Christ was God's perfect son, born of a virgin, lived a perfectly sinless life, died on a cross, shed his blood for my sin that this world might be saved, rose again on the third day as the Son of God. He is coming again in like manner also. Paul said, I have kept the faith. And we need some preaching today and some pulpits today with a not for sale sign on the front. Some men and some women who will have the same sign. I'm not for sale. I am a blood-bought, born-again child of God. And it may not be popular at times to be a Bible-believing Christian, but I intend to keep my faith. Paul was resolved for the finish. And then I want you to see, finally this morning, he was rewarded for the finish. We will be rewarded for the finish. Now notice what he says in verse 8, and we're done. Verse number 8. Henceforth, because of his faithfulness, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Here we see that he was prepared for his reward. There was laid up a crown for Paul. This meant his crown was reserved. 1 Corinthians 9:25 says, and every man striveth for the mastery, and he is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, the Olympic gold medal. It's corruptible, but Paul says, we an incorruptible. There will be some crowns that we receive that will never rust. They will never get lost. They will never, ever fade away. One of the girls in our college, bless her heart, her fiance lost her engagement ring. Boy, everyone's been looking for it. Phone rang at the house last night, and Danielle said, so-and-so called. She wants me to check the found section in the newspaper for the ring. I've never checked for the found. I always put stuff in the lost, but I've never checked for the found. So we're going to check the found. Oh, they're looking everywhere for it. You know, the things of this world, they can get lost. They can get rusty. They can go away. But the things you do on this earth that have eternal significance, they will never, ever rust or be lost. It is an incorruptible crown that fadeth not away. And it is safe to tell a person that is pure in heart that they will see God and that they will be rewarded by God. For only the pure in heart really want to see Him and be rewarded by Him. And we see in the Word of God that there is a prepared reward. But not only is it prepared, it was a promised reward. For the Bible says here, as Paul is writing his testimony, the Lord shall give it to me, and not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. My friend, do you love His appearing? Are you living with His appearing in mind? Because Jesus Christ is coming again. The story is told of General Douglas MacArthur being transferred from the Philippines to Australia during World War II. The general that became the general in command of the Philippine and United States soldiers was a general by the name of Wainwright. Times were tough and we were suffering great casualties during that part of the war. The Japanese were advancing, and in fact, General Wainwright was taken captive and was taken to an island called Corregidor Island, a rock island, a prison island in the middle of the ocean. General Wainwright was there for several weeks and months. He suffered beating. He suffered at starvation. But worse than that was the psychological suffering. Day after day, they would tell this great and renowned general, "You're losing the war. You're losing the war. MacArthur's never coming back. MacArthur's dead." And finally, his spirits became depleted. His hope was gone. General Wainwright, instead of getting up and trying to eat and trying to exercise, just laid in bed. He stopped shaving. He stopped trying to care for himself. But one night something happened. One night a Special Forces team member came up from out of the ocean, climbed aside the rock, came to the window of that general and said, "General MacArthur has sent us to tell you the battle is nearly ended and we're about ready to win. Get ready! Soon you will be rescued." The story is told that Wainwright got up at the crack of dawn the next morning. He said to his captors, "I'll have my breakfast this morning." They brought his soup in. He went to the corner and found his toothbrush. He began to take care of himself. He shaved off his rusty, his old beard. He took that rusty old toothbrush and he took his medals and began to get the rust and corrosion off of them and shine them up. He straightened himself up as best he could. He began to do exercises. And finally the day came when MacArthur's forces came and extradited him and the other prisoners and brought him home to safety. And someone says, "What brought the change in Wainwright's behavior?" It was the anticipation that MacArthur was coming again. And my friend, when you get back into your mind the fact that Jesus Christ is coming and that you're going to face him someday, it will cause you to desire to finish strongly for the Lord Jesus Christ. For he will come again. Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." How will he reward you? One way is with the crown of life for all of those who love, the crown of righteousness for all of those who love his appearing. Now, friend, here it is. Are you this morning ready for the finish? If you died today, would you be with Jesus like Paul was ready? Are you ready? If you are ready in the sense of salvation, are you resolved? Are you fighting today? The flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, are you resolved? Because if you are, and if you're looking for his appearing, you will be rewarded when you see him face to face.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, the daily radio program and teaching and preaching ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell, the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and the president of West Coast Baptist College. If today's message has been an encouragement and a blessing to you, perhaps consider going online. You can download this message in its entirety, this program in its entirety, and also recent series from Daily in the Word through our podcast or through the website when you visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. I also want to encourage you to refer a friend to dailyintheword.org. Let them know about the great Bible teaching and preaching that you're receiving, and they can receive that as well anytime, 24/7 at dailyintheword.org. I want to invite you to prayerfully consider partnering with us financially this month. This is an important time of year to consider how God might allow you to impact others with the gospel of Christ. And a great way to do that is through the ministry of Daily in the Word. Your gift of any amount is so important to helping us continue this radio program on this station and others like it all across the country. And this month, when you will partner with us, we want to send you a gift of appreciation. And it's a Christmas CD, a solo piano CD that will encourage your heart, entitled A Quiet Christmas with Christ. You can partner with us online at dailyintheword.org by clicking on the donate button, or you can call us toll free. The number is 1-800-201-7748. Again, 1-800-201-7748. We also love to hear from you by mail. You can send a letter to 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. I want to remind you, visit us at dailyintheword.org. You'll find a treasury of resources for your spiritual growth, including a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell, a link to the Daily in the Word podcast, and lots of other information. Be sure to check out the information on the Alaska cruise. We're headed to Alaska in August of 2011, and we would love to meet you and fellowship with you during that week on this special adventure. Be sure to consider prayerfully partnering with us financially. Your gift to this ministry on a monthly basis would be so appreciated and would go so far in helping us to continue expanding the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ all across the country through this program. You can partner with us online at dailyintheword.org. Our toll-free number, 1-800-201-7748. Thanks so much for letting this program minister to you today. And until next time, have a great day.